Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Friday, 2nd of September 2022 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the Isle of Man and background to that news. Sport, business, Sea-Watch, travel updates, the newsmakers in person tonight. Manx Care's boss says the culture will change. Should we have a Manx ID card? Douglas Council's green weight scheme started today. Fit a dash cam to spot a wildlife killer, and a rare wildflower thought extinct has been rediscovered in the Isle of Man.
Man Benham, for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines, Fester Mai, Christian Jones.
Fester Mai. The chief executive of Manx Care has called the latency between the UK and the Isle of Man unfair. Theresa Cope was referring to the introduction of a programme which would provide advice and guidance to health services about the use of new and existing technologies. That same programme has been in place in the UK for 22 years. The Manx SPCA says drivers should install dash cams to catch people who deliberately run over wildlife. It follows reports of gulls being run over by vehicles in Ramsey this week. And a rare wildflower last seen on the Isle of Man 142 years ago has been rediscovered on a dairy farm in the south of the island. An officer for the Manx Wildlife Trust spotted the skullcap flower back in July, and it's since been confirmed after the species was once thought to be extinct here. Turning to the international news, London's Mayor Sadiq Khan says a review into the departure of Dame Cressida Dick is clearly biased. The former Metropolitan Police Commissioner says she felt intimidated into stepping down earlier this year. The next UK Prime Minister and Conservative Party leader is set to be announced after the weekend. A postal ballot of party members has now closed. The results will be announced on Monday. And Extinction Rebellion protesters superglued themselves to each other in the House of Commons, and others have padlocked their necks to the railings outside. Around 50 environmental activists are calling for a citizens' assembly to discuss the climate crisis. Those are the update news headlines next at 6.
Man Benham. Contact us by phone, video call, email or face-to-face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goramayed, thank you, Christian, from the Ronalds Way Met Office. There's no wind warning in operation for the North Irish Sea. State of sea is slight, becoming moderate into Sunday. Dry and cloudy this evening with a light to moderate southeasterly. Rain will move in after dark. The overnight minimum 14 degrees. Tomorrow, just sun, cloudy and wet. A light east-southeasterly, daytime maximum 19 degrees. Intermittent rain through the night into Sunday. Lowest temperature 16 degrees. And Jaduni, rain first thing on a fresh to strong southeasterly. Clearing by early afternoon. The wind will turn light and variable as the rain clears. And sunny spells will break through last thing Sunday afternoon. Top temperature 19 degrees. Sunsets tonight at 8:08, so it's getting dark at about 8:40. Low water, 8:20. High water, 4:28. Sunrise, 6:29. And low water tomorrow morning is at 10:45.
Manx Glass and Glazing can produce bespoke splashbacks for your kitchen in any colours. Speak to the team on 674 573.
Manx Care says changes to the culture within the organisation are essential to maintaining its workforce. Christian Jones is back.
Earlier this year, the results of a survey from the British Medical Association which measured cultural engagement were leaked. It accused Manx Care of blame culture, allowing discrimination and providing fake support. As a result, the chief executive of the health service provider said it wanted staff to feel there was an open door policy. Theresa Cope has since reiterated this and called on staff within the organisation to have the confidence to come forward, but insists implementing change is already underway.
It's really important to reflect the cultural change we are trying to see across Manx Care. So how we behave, how we conduct ourselves, the values of the organisation, how our staff feel, because we want our staff to feel valued. It's really, really important for retention. It's really important for recruitment. And you will have seen from the board papers, we reported back on two big pieces of cultural work that have taken place in the organisation during the time of Manx Care with a very clear plan to deliver. You know, what we have to do, and this is what we heard very, very strongly and clearly, is we have to act. You know, there's been lots of reports saying what it's like. What our staff have to have is the confidence we will follow through in that, and we will make some real tangible change around the behaviours and the culture in the organisation.
Isle of Man Constabularies praise the behaviour of both residents and visitors for their conduct on Manx highways during the Manx Grand Prix. There were no fatalities on open roads during MGP and TT this year. Sergeant Andy Reid says speaking to and educating motorists on the road has had a positive impact.
The Constabularies achieved what we set out to achieve, and that was no fatalities on open roads, and that's really good. And it's not just that wasn't just because of the constabulary and our officers out on the street. That was a success because of the multi-agency approach that we took in the planning of both events, because we planned the MGP and the TT together. That's thanks to the road safety teams, the health service, the fire service, the Department of Infrastructure, but also the public. You know, the visiting public that are on their bikes, you know, they adhered to the speed limits. They weren't stupid in either the MGP or the TT. And also, you know, the people that live on the island as well.
With the TT and MGP, it's the first time it's come back since 2019. So there will have been possibly officers out there that have never covered operations during road racing season, as it were. Have there been any new officers out there this year? And how have they found it, if there have been?
We had a great majority of our officers were new, first-time TT officers. We've been in lockdown for two years that we've not had the TT, and we've been recruiting. So we have a number of officers that have been out there. So what that made us do was, in our planning and preparation, we obviously had to do extra briefings and make officers aware of what the TT is all about and what to expect to see and what to do and how we want them to police. But the majority of people that would have spoken to a police officer would have been sort of with less than maybe 5 years service. So they've enjoyed themselves. They've experienced the TT for the first time. They've experienced the long shifts for the first time. And I believe that they're looking forward to TT 2023.
The Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update on Manx Radio with Andy Wint.
Faster Mike, good evening. 23 minutes before 6 on Manx Radio. A Manx resident calling for the Isle of Man to issue identification documents after his wife was detained at two airports while travelling back to the island. Douglas councillor Frank Schwengel said his wife, Mika, that was travelling from the Philippines when she experienced issues despite having proof of her leave to remain. The story from Chanel Suku.
We checked in at Manila Airport, and normally if you live in the UK as a Filipino citizen, as my wife is, you get either an ID card or a biometric ID card. You show that, it proves your residency. In the case of the Isle of Man, they do not issue ID cards or biometric ID cards for anyone who comes here to live and work. All you get after your initial visa is a nice little letter from the Home Office saying you now have leave to remain. So you have to carry this letter, present it to the check-in person, which somewhat predictably that person was a bit skeptical about, because you come along there with, you know, a passport with no stamps on it. My wife had a brand new passport, so the old visa wasn't in there, and it doesn't have to be. And, you know, we presented that, and it was like, oh, I've never heard of this. Issue number two, which I think has baffled me much more, made me much more angry, was when we arrived in Manchester. My wife was stopped at immigration and presented again her Filipino passport and the letter from the Isle of Man Home Office. And they doubted it. And they took her into secondary, made her sign a form and basically treated her like a criminal, which is not the kind of welcome we should probably extend to residents of the Isle of Man, especially as we're trying to attract half the world over here.
What was going through your mind during this whole ordeal?
I'm sort of used to it. So I've always been asked, what's my connection to him? Just a bit scared, I guess, during those times, yeah.
The Isle of Man Immigration Service says it can't comment on individual travel or residency statuses and has advised anyone who has experienced issues when travelling to or from the island to contact the immigration team directly to discuss. It's told Manx Radio it does not issue the same documentation as the UK, but under Schedule 4 of the Immigration Act of 1971, any residency permissions granted in the island or any other Crown dependencies will be as if permission had been given by the UK, regardless of the format. No biometric residence permits or cards are distributed, and it adds that physical documents like biometric residence cards will be slowly phased out as the UK moves towards a fully digital immigration system.
Douglas Council's new garden waste system has started today to encourage residents and the capital to recycle. The council has over 3,000 applications for those new garden bins and has delivered 1,500 of them. Our local democracy reporter is Emma Draper. member.
Falk Horning, Chair of Douglas Council's Environmental Services Committee, spoke to me about the introduction of the scheme.
The main reason why we do this is for environmental enhancement. We are a UNESCO Biosphere partner, so it is only right that we live up to that image that we want to portray to the world of being the responsible nation, doing what is right for the planet and society.
The scheme is only being rolled out in the Douglas area, but Councillor Horning is hopeful that it will be replicated in other parts of the island.
That largely depends on the other local authorities. We are basically paving the way for them a little bit by introducing the scheme here. And they can have a look, they can see what happens in Douglas. And if it is a success, I would be surprised if not other local authorities are going to follow us. So this is not a trial run, this is something that will stay in the future. We have purchased the bins, so they are now in the council stock. And from March to October every year, we are going to collect the garden waste. And we are also going to continue to collect our the blue and green boxes, with normal recycling scheme that we have, as well as the black bins waste arisings. Speaking of those black bins, we will switch to collecting them fortnightly from the end of September in most areas of Douglas, which means that it will be a bit less convenient to just throw everything in the black bin. And our hope is that more people will realize that it is actually easier to recycle some of the materials.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Mothership Ben McCree departed Heysham at 14 minutes past 2. See, just into Douglas Bay at the moment. We'll be in the inner harbour in the next 15 minutes. Departing this evening at 7.45, arriving in Heysham at 11:30. The overnight departure 2:15, back to Douglas tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. High-speed craft Manannan departed Douglas at 3:25. She'll be alongside the pierhead in Liverpool at about 6:10, departing there at 7:30, back to Douglas at 10:15. Tomorrow morning's departures, 7:30, it's Manannan heading for Liverpool, 8:45, Ben McCree to Heysham.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
A rare wildflower last seen on the Isle of Man when Queen Victoria was on the throne has been rediscovered on a dairy farm. David Bellamy, an officer for the Manx Wildlife Trust, spotted the skullcap flower back in July, and it's since been confirmed as a species once thought to have been extinct on the island.
Part of my role with the Manx Wildlife Trust is to help deliver the government's new agri-environment scheme. That involves going out to any farm on the island who would like me to come and explain the scheme to them and walk the farm and discuss the wildlife that they have already on the farm, the good things that they're doing, and areas for improvement. And in this one case, we're on a dairy farm in the south of the island, walking around a wet area of marshy grassland, which we call gheries here on the island. And I just stumbled across a plant that I couldn't identify. I'm not a botanist, so there's lots of plants I don't know, but I know all the common ones on the island. So if I find something I've never seen before, it might be nice. So I took a photo and went and checked with some of my colleagues who know much more about plants than I do. And one of them fell off their chair when they saw the photo, something not seen for 142 years.
And what does it exactly mean for the island then, in terms of the biodiversity and the fact that this plant has been able to grow now?
In all reality, it's probably been in existence all this time and just nobody's known about it, which is one of the reasons it's so good to get across so much farmland as part of my role. But it takes a species off the extinct list and adds it onto the red list. And in a couple of weeks, we'll be publishing a document which reviews all 500 species on the Isle of Man and how they're doing. But it does mean that we've inadvertently, through existing farming practices, saved a species that we otherwise thought was lost.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
At 16 minutes before 6, Ryanair carried 16.9 million passengers in August, more than in the same month before the onset of the COVID pandemic. Europe's biggest short-haul carrier said planes flew 96% full, an historically high load factor for the budget airline, which prides itself in cramming its aircraft as much as possible to maximise profits. The figures are well up from the 11.5 1.1 million carried last August during a partial relaxation in travel restrictions, and 13% higher than the 14.9 million that boarded its planes in August 2019. August typically is the busiest month for the airline. For a full daily market report, go to ramseycrookhall.com. Still with aviation, airlines in both North America and Europe are expected to maintain restrictions on the number of flights operating in the winter months to battle congestion due to a surge in travel as COVID restrictions eased. Airlines scale back operations as they struggle to keep up with the pent-up demand. Now airlines say strategies to quell airport delays and cancellations will continue as several factors, including inexperienced staff and a shortage of air traffic controllers, make getting back up to speed a slow process.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookhall.
UK and European markets advanced to round out a bruising week. US stocks rallied after an inline August jobs report that renewed some optimism amongst investors. Oil climbed on bets that OPEC Plus will discuss output cuts, and gold priced higher. The numbers now from Ramsey Crookhall. The FTSE 100 closed up 1.9% at 7,281. The DAX in Frankfurt up 3.3% at the close at 13,350. Currently New York City, the trading day goes on. The Dow Jones Industrials up just over 1% at 31,978. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index, again, just up over 1% at 11,906. And the S&P 500 up 1.1% at 4,010. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling trading at $1, 15.8 cents, €1, 15.4 cents, and 19 South African rand, 94.1 cents. In commodities, gold up 1.25% at $1,715 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude up 2.4% at $94.35.
You've got an investment plan?
Yeah, Mike set it up.
But don't you need loads of money to do that?
Not this one. It's called Shearwater from Ramsey Crookhall, and you pay in monthly as little as £100. So it's like saving regularly, really helping us invest in the future. For a house, or the kids' education.
£100 a month? I could easily do that.
You should. The sooner you start, the better.
Invest in your future with as little as £100 a month. Shearwater from Ramsey Crookhall, the island's investment specialist for 75 years. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookhall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Isle of Man Water Sports. Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Here's the relevant information. If you're sailing, kayaking, windsurfing, paddleboarding, sea swimming, diving or surfing this weekend, sea temperatures 16 degrees Celsius, and the wind tomorrow, Saturday 3rd, southeasterly force 3 or 4, becoming occasionally 5 around the north, variable 3 and less during the morning. Wave height 0.8 to 1.2 metres, becoming 0.4 to 0.8 metres. Wave period is 4 seconds tomorrow. High tide 4.28 a.m., 4.46 p.m. On Sunday, the wind is east or southeasterly, force 5 or 6, decreasing south or southeast, 4 or 5 during the morning and 3 or 4 through the afternoon. Wave height 1.5 to 2 metres, becoming 0.8 to 1.2 metres. Wave period 4 seconds, becoming 5 seconds. High tide 5.29 a.m., 5.51 p.m.
Manx Glass and Glazing can produce bespoke splashbacks for your kitchen in any colours. Speak to the team on 674 573.
If you have a news story for Manx Radio to investigate and report, email newsroom at manxradio.com or call 682 631 any time of day or night.
Drivers should install dash cams to catch people who deliberately run over wildlife. The advice from the Manx SPCA and Joanna Warburton following reports of gulls being run over by vehicles in Ramsey this week.
The response is simple. If somebody deliberately kills a bird or a wild animal for that matter, they're actually breaking the law. It is against the Wildlife Act 1990 to deliberately injure or harm a wild animal or bird. So it is actually an illegal act. I can understand that sometimes a bird or a wild animal may be in the road and a driver cannot avoid hitting it. And again, it would be, you know, inappropriate to endanger human life simply to avoid hitting a wild animal. But I do also know that there are people out there who really don't care for them and don't take avoiding action. I saw a similar incident 3 weeks ago. A white van deliberately drove towards a young hare on the road. Luckily, the hare managed to get off the road. And that leads me to my next point, which is I was mortified because my dash cam didn't work. And I think my appeal would be, if you've got dash cams, please use them and make sure that they are recording. And that's the way we can catch people in the act. The police have wildlife officers who are specially trained to look into such matters and to investigate them. And if we've got evidence to be able to send to them, then that's what we need to do.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fastamai, Rob Pritchard.
Fastamai, good evening. Starting with football, and the 2022-23 Manx football season is set to get underway proper this weekend. Teams across the Canada Life Men's Premier League, Division 2, Canada Life Combi 1 and Combi 2 will get their campaigns underway with the first round of fixtures on Saturday. Last season's Premier League winners, Ayr United, will begin the defence of their title at home to newly promoted St John's, whilst this week's Eric Fletcher Charity Shield winners, Rushen United, will travel north to face Ramsey. Meanwhile, St Mary's returns to the fold this year and will have sides competing in Division 2 and Combi 2. All matches will kick off at 2:30 p.m. tomorrow, with the exception of St Mary's versus Braddon in Combi 2, which starts at 1:45. Sticking with football, and FC Isle of Man will be hoping to get back to winning ways when they face Barnoldswick Town in the NWCFL Premier Division tomorrow evening. The Ravens are back on Manx soil after four away games on the bounce, with Saturday's clash kicking off at the Bowl at 6 p.m. The Ireland side have suffered back-to-back defeats in their last two games, but manager Chris Bass thinks it could only take one or two key moments going forward for them to start tasting victory again.
At the moment, we're in a bit of a habit where we need to break that, and the only way we can do that is collectively all sticking together and working in the same direction.
Manx Radio will be providing full live match commentary of tomorrow's game on our AM 1368 and digital platforms. And football is not the only sport getting back underway for the new campaign on Manx shores this weekend. The rugby season is returning this Saturday too. Douglas start the season in the newly badged regional North 2 West with a trip to Firwood Waterloo. Dave Christian gave his thoughts on how he thinks this curtain raiser could go.
Personally, I think they're going to struggle, but that remains to be seen. They've got a committed bunch of youngsters down there together with some old experienced heads. And they may well pull out a few surprises.
Meanwhile, on Ireland, the Ravenscroft Manx Shield returns tomorrow with three games all kicking off at 2:15 p.m. Ramsey Reds host Western Vikings at Morag Park. The new Eastern Barbarians side face the returning Castletown at Bala Fletcher. And at Ballykillia, Southern Nomads take on Ramsey Blues.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Some delays at Ronald's Way Airport. The 5 o'clock inbound EasyJet from Belfast International won't be in until 20 to 8 tonight. The 5:35 inbound... Well, the 5:25 inbound Loganair from Manchester came in on time, and then it's the 5:08 tonight Loganair from Liverpool returning patient transfer plane, that's on time. The 8:05 Loganair from London City showing on time, and the 8:35 EasyJet from Gatwick showing on time. Fingers crossed for that. Outbound tonight, the 5:30 EasyJet to Belfast International won't be setting off until 8:10. 6 o'clock patient transfer plane to Liverpool. The Loganair, that's showing on time, as is the returning Gatwick EasyJet, leaving at 9:05. On the roads, everything's fine on the mountain. The mist has cleared. Cycling is now permitted on the mountain road, by the way. In Douglas, Mona Drive's closed. They're doing some excavation work there till the last week in September. In Port Erin, temporary lights on the Bradder Road near the turn for Bradder Glen for sewer work. In Lower Foxdale, temporary lights on the main road, the A3, for wall maintenance work. And still in Castletown, Castle Street is one way northbound for building work.
Massimo Tyres, budget tyres priced to keep your vehicle safe and legal. Only available at Quayside.
Just a quick note for the weekend. Great news. Conservation work at Laxey Wheels making good progress. And from tomorrow, you can climb to the top of the Lady Isabella and take in the magnificent views. Almost there. Repair work to the stairs at Port Skillion in Douglas, which has left the beach out of action for months, has been completed. Douglas Borough Council's worked with private contractors and the DOI after the winter storms in the past year caused extensive damage. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper is back with that story.
The beach is one of the smallest on the island, and the protective nature of it makes it popular with open water swimmers. Douglas councillor Andrew Bentley said if the steps had been left, they would have become a health and safety risk.
Well, the stairs were damaged in the storm, which revealed that underneath the platform there was very little, and you were standing on sort of 3 inches of concrete that was suspended in midair. So the stairs were taken out of action, and thankfully the DOI have now rebuilt the staircase and filled under the area, so it's nice and safe. And whilst Paul Carey and Sons were on site doing that work, the council asked them to do the plinth at the back as well, which had been in a state of disrepair, and it was really to take advantage of them being there to avoid any future health and safety issues that might occur.
Will you be doing anything in the future to attract people here again, like rafts, pontoons, like beach huts, anything like that?
The council did vote through to put a raft in the bay for next summer, but the location of that isn't known yet. Port Skillion is obviously one of the locations. Having spoken to some of the blue tits down there on the other lunchtime, they said that they would generally prefer it to be kept a bit more natural. But we're looking at doing a bit of landscaping down there, just because there's an old building there that really we could make it a bit prettier, I think.
Susan Chalmers is a member of the Blue Tits Swimming Group and told me the new steps have tidied everything up.
I think it's lovely. I think the facility down here is lovely. It's tidied everything up. It's tidied all this, because this was a bit of a mess here. So it's tidied all that up, and there's a place to put your stuff in. And, you know, it's really nice. I think it's lovely, you know, people can come down here, swim, leave their stuff here, get in. So, yeah, it's lovely.
And the steps at the top, you said before they needed sorting out?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, that's probably the next step, you know, on the ladder, really, of improving the area. I think it's inaccessible for some people, because as people get older, and a lot of older people, you know, swim down here, and it is, getting up and down them is a sore trial.
That's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Christian Jones, producer Amy Griffiths. I'm Andy Wint. Stick around after the news at 6 o'clock, Friday Sport with Rob Pritchard, and later on some jazz with Howie and Chris at 9 o'clock.
WIN.